Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to begin this message. First off, tell you, I love you. I love you. You've probably seen in the bulletin that I've said there are no excuses. You've probably seen in there that I have told you from the bulletin, from my insert, that you must listen carefully and intently to this message, because if you zone out for any moment in time during this message, you may look up and want to falsely accuse me of heresy. So I want you to listen intently to this entire message. If you fall asleep and you wake up, before you accuse me of heresy, come see me and I'll give you the full message. I am recording it so that you can hear it again, so that you understand. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. If you found Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, I ask you to stand in honor of reading God's Word as I read through verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Father, as we open Your Word and we begin to focus this day on truly, truly the reason You have put us together here at Martindale Baptist Church is to share the gospel, the good news, the power of God on salvation. That there's no other reason that we should be collectively gathered together, but to learn of the gospel, to edify and lift one another up, to go out and share and make disciples, and indeed Your Spirit will empower all to come to know You. God, this world, this mindset of this world has changed so much that we are now to be ambassadors to show the world the truth of You in Your Word, in Your Son Jesus, and in the creation that You have given us. Father, Your Word plainly says that no one has an excuse. Help us to focus truly on the truth of Your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Listen intently to today's message, please. I want to walk through this passage of Scripture and use some more verses, and I'll probably stand here as my notes are here more than you see me walking around as I sometimes do. But I want to start out just letting you know that I believe and I am not ashamed of the gospel. I look in these verses here and I see what it says, that the power of God is truly in the gospel. It is the power, in verse 16 it says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." The condition there is salvation only comes to those who believe. So, I'm going to ask this question. If you believe something is true, what will you do about it? I went to the pastor's conference, the expository preacher's conference that was held at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth this past Monday and Tuesday. And there was a young man there, a preacher of a very large church, challenged us pastors. He stood there in a soft-spoken voice and he held that Bible. He held it up to all the pastors that were there and all the preachers and the wannabes that were there. And he softly said, "Do we believe this book? Do we really believe this book? Do we believe," and I'll add to that now, that I just want you to know how he, and Brother Joe Barry and I decided that we were going to have him arrested for assault charges. You say how it is that I stomp on your toes and, you know, we wear steel-toed boots sometimes and you complain about that. He didn't hit our toes. He hit us right here in the heart. Now I'm going to ask you this question. I've got several questions for you. Do we believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power unto salvation? Do we believe it, folks? It says here that the power of the gospel has the power to save souls. Do you believe it? Going further into verse 17, I see that says, "For therein," that's talking about there in the gospel, about Jesus Christ, who is the gospel. It says, "Therein, there's the power of the gospel to reveal righteousness." I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness of God. There is power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal His righteousness. There's righteousness revealed in the gospel. In verse 17, and we read here in verse 17, it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There's power in the gospel to generate faith where there is no faith. So that faith is launched. And by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The power of the gospel is where the generation of the faith is found, by trusting in Jesus Christ. The disciples, as they began walking on the shores of Galilee with Jesus, their faith was generated by the good news that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's power in the gospel to generate faith where there is no faith. And there's power in the gospel to sustain those where it says that the just shall live by faith. You can't do it on your own. You cannot live a righteous and holy life on your own. It's the gospel, knowing the good news of Jesus Christ, what He has sacrificed and gave for you, that gives you the power to live by faith, trusting in Him. You can't clean up your act, folks.
No way.
You can't do it. It's the power of the gospel to clean you up. By His blood, we are cleansed.
Amen.
And the stains are washed white as snow. By His blood. Not anything that you can do. Not anything that you can do. So the power of the gospel we see is of God in the gospel. We see these things. And we see that truly the power, the gospel of God is revealed to all. Now hold on to this. It is revealed to all. Look at verse 18 with me. It says, first thing that the gospel of God reveals what? For the wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. There is a wrath of God. And you think, well, wait a minute, you're talking about the gospel being a good news, and then all of a sudden you're talking about the wrath of God. Yes, the wrath of God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus as it is poured out on all ungodliness and unrighteousness.
Amen.
And it's revealed in the gospel. The wrath of God, we always like to teach and preach, oh, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. But you know what? There is wrath. in the love of God. You that are sitting by your spouse, grab their hand. Now, let me ask you this question. You love them? Do you love them?
Amen.
In that love, if they do something wrong, what do you, squeeze that hand? Twist that ear? Huh? There's love in there still, is it not? Your child, look at your children, look at your grandchildren. You love them, don't you? They do something wrong, what happens? Y'all experienced the wrath of Brother Larry on the van the other night, didn't you? Because of disobedience, you know? Huh? Think about it, folks. Even in true love, there is a wrath. But this wrath that we're talking about here, revealed from God in the gospel, is there is going to be a judgment. Not a chastisement, but a judgment upon all the ungodly and unrighteous. There is truly revealed in the gospel the wrath of God, as we see in verse 18. Let's move further in verse 18. And it says, when it is revealed for those against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now we could say that there's lost people who hold this Bible up and dispute it. They're having the truth in their hands, are they not? But I want to show you something further as we look at this. Going down through here, that the holding the truth in unrighteousness, God has revealed to every soul His gospel. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I thought that's why we send out missions, so they spread the gospel. You know what? My God is so powerful, He's so powerful enough that He don't need you. He don't need me. My Bible tells me right here that the gospel is revealed to every soul. You say, then why do we have to go? I'll explain that here in just a moment. I'll explain why we are supposed to be responsible for spreading the gospel. Verse number 19 says, because, and talking about the men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, you know, I'm going to say this very plainly. This right here could be both the lost and saved who hold the truth and misuse the Word of God, misuse the truth of God. Could it not be? You agree? It could be both saved and lost who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because how many of you have seen unrighteous saints? I won't ask the question how many of you are unrighteous saints. I'll leave that between you and the Holy Spirit. But there could be a truth that this is for lost and saved, both holding the truth in unrighteousness, making the Word of God fit your excuses. We have no excuse, people. Now, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest where? Out here in the world? Over here in believers? Where is the truth of God manifest? In them. Now, I'm going to say this, and you might think that I'm preaching a heresy right here, so hang on to it. The truth of God is found in every living soul. When God created man, He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. He breathed the truth of God into mankind. When God said, let us make man in our image, the gospel of God was revealed to every soul. Every soul has no excuse for knowing the truth of God. Because did it not just say? Did I just not read that it said that it was revealed where? In them. The gospel, the truth, is revealed to every soul. Goes further in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God, for God hath showed it unto them. Again, it repeats it. God has shown His truth. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. You say, well, preacher, why is it that way? Here's what happens. And we'll get further in this. The depravity of man has taken everything that God has ever given man, including the truth, And man, through the device of the devil's deceit, has changed everything that God has ever given mankind and changed it to the wrong, to the detriment of people realizing and knowing the truth.
Amen.
People have the truth of God. We always say that there's a little bit of good in everyone. And I'm beginning to see that, you know what? That may be a true statement. Then it becomes our opportunity to bring it out in them for them to realize they must have salvation through Jesus Christ. Because they have taken everything from the creation of the world. And we'll watch this, what they've done with it. They've made some changes to it. They've changed the truth. Changing truth is not the way we should be, should it? Verse 20, go further, says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are what? Made. You know, you can see the hand of God in everything. And we always say this, oh, what a beautiful world God has created. Well, we're living in the curse, folks. We're not living in paradise. We're not living in Eden. We're not even living before the flood. We're living after the curse, after the flood. And yet it's still what? It's beautiful. If we think this cursed earth is so beautiful, what is it going to be like when we really get to heaven? What's it going to be like when we really see what God has done without the curse? Think about it.
Wow.
Maybe we ought to shout, wow. God has revealed Himself to every living soul through His creation, through everything that was made. How in the blue blazes do these, whatever they call themselves, scientists, and they talk about how evolution came from a big bang. Well, maybe it's because somebody needs to bang them upside their head and tell them, you have forgotten the truth about what God has done. And revealed Himself to you. It's an amazing thing how it is that we become smart in our own ways. We think we have. It's revealed of nature. All nature has revealed. And it goes further. It says, being understood that the things are made, even what? His eternal power. And what? Godhead. The Trinity is revealed to every soul from nature so that they are what? Without excuse. No one has an excuse for not believing the gospel. Is that not what the Bible just said? Now here's what happens, folks. Really, there's no problem. You don't see really a whole lot of heresy right now at this point, do you? Kind of agree with all this about the gospel, don't you? Here are the two areas that I really want us to begin to focus. And I'll have to move very quickly and I'll have to preach rather quickly or you'll accuse me of heresy. The presumed innocent who have never heard the gospel. Oh my goodness. We run out here and preachers are challenged. You're challenged. Well, what about the little heathen down on the little island down here who's never had and heard of the gospel? Wait a minute. What did we just read? What did we just read? They have no excuse because the Godhead and His eternal power has been revealed to them. Has it not? Has it not?
Amen.
So I'm going to say this. If there indeed was an innocent little soul, they would be granted in heaven on their own pure innocence. Now there you might say, preacher, you are preaching heresy there. But think about this. There is none. There is no innocent soul on this entire planet. None. Think about it. They are what? Without excuse. Because God has revealed to them the truth. They don't exist, folks. We always want to argue over this, fret over this, but my Bible says there is none good, no, not one, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the glory of God is revealed to what? To every soul.
Amen.
That breathes. Now, you say, preacher, you're getting close to heresy. I ain't either. Am I not preaching from the Word of God that says that no one has an excuse? Is that not what it says? What has happened throughout time, from the time that the gospel was presented to their ancestors and all this before, and when they look at nature, they begin to perceive in their own minds, and well, even Aaron in his excuse when he said that the golden calf came out of the fire. Huh? Deep? You remember when Moses went back up on the mountain, he came back down and all the Israelites were worshiping this golden calf that Aaron had made from all the earrings and gold that they brought to him. And Aaron says, take that golden calf, just climbed right out of the fire. Isn't that what he said? Because what? They turned from the truth that they had already seen by the mighty hand of God. And every soul on this planet is given the truth. Now, well, let's deal with what it says to an understanding. Does it not say something in there about an understanding? And this preacher will stand here and tell you that there are souls that never reach that level of understanding. Okay? Does it not talk about there's an understanding? Let me make sure that I'm not misfocused here. When it says here, and they looked through this, manifest to show to them, it's going to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, and made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who what? Changed the truth of God into a lie. What has all the heathen done? They've taken the truth that God has revealed inside them, that God has revealed in creation, that God has done in all the invisible things and revealed Himself to them, even the eternal power of God and His Godhead. And they've changed it and made it into a lie. So you say, okay, I'm with you so far. What does that apply to me? How does that apply to me? This is where we come to the second issue. And I want you to listen very closely. We don't really believe the gospel. Come on, look at me. Come on, don't look down, look at me. We don't really believe the gospel. We are too comfortable in our religion to act as if Christ can really change the world. Now you begin to understand why I said that. We don't really believe the gospel because we really don't care about lost souls. We don't care. We care more about our money, our toys, our playtime, more than anything that's eternal in the gospel of the truth of God.
Amen.
And you say, how can you prove that? When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When the last time you brought someone down this aisle and say, Brother Larry, I've shared the gospel because I believe that the gospel has the power to change lives. Do we really believe this gospel, folks? Do we believe the gospel? We don't live the radical change that the gospel has made even in our own lives because we still flirt with and waller in and play around with sinful things and sinful people.
Amen.
Do we really believe the gospel that we preach? Do we live that gospel? Are we on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now here's something I want to show you. Some of us live like the ungodly. Pick up in verse 26 with me. Here's what some of us do. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward the other, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. There's a damnation in this whole process of homosexuality, folks.
Amen.
And yet, we want to embrace it and say it's okay. Do we believe this gospel? Do we believe this truth? Do we focus on what is real? And in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, everybody would rather push God out of their mind. And you know what? I'm going to tell you very plainly, just because you won't believe God's word and you won't believe in God, that does not make him to the point where he does not exist, and you doesn't make him to the point where you have an excuse, because the knowledge of God is revealed in every soul.
Amen.
And God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without, there's that word, understanding. And here's what happens to us who call ourselves saints. We won't read the Word of God for understanding. We'll read through a program or a plan, but yet we won't seek its meaning. And we'll say, I read through the Bible. How much of it did you understand? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Death. So those who do those things are worthy of death. But it says, not only do the same, but those who have what? Pleasure in them that do them. So you mean if I watch this ungodly TV program and laugh about it, I have pleasure in it, so I'm worthy of what?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're worthy of death. If you enjoy anything that's sinful pleasure, just watching and observing it, you're worthy of what? Death. Do you really believe the gospel? We make excuses. And I want to run through some excuses real quick, and I don't have time to cover all this. There are some biblical excuses that we find in the Bible for not spreading the truth. Here are some of them, and you write these down and you go read them yourself. Self-perceived personal incompetency. We know that was Exodus 4:10 when Moses said, speak. Personal incompetency. I can't do it. I can't do it. We use this other one. A presumed lack of social position or skills, Judges 6:15. Only the preacher needs to go out and do all the visitation and winning souls. Ha! You study your Bible and Book of Acts, you find the preacher's supposed to be dedicated to prayer and the reading of the Word and studying of the Word.
Absolutely.
Come on.
That's right.
So who should be out on visitation? The preacher.
Everyone.
Huh? Everyone.
Everyone.
I'm not elevated. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I don't need to lead anybody to the Lord. Why should I go visiting? Fear of difficulties. Proverbs 22:13 says something about going out and being consumed by the lion. I'm so afraid that somebody's going to say something mean to me and it's going to hurt my feelings. I might even puncture my tire. That tire belongs to God. And I have to say this. I was brokenhearted the other day when I went by the Pulaski Baptist Association. I really was. Diane looked at me when I walked out and said, "What's wrong with you?" Due to the dangers that have now become extreme in Mexico, Danny is going down tomorrow to shut down the apartment. They ran off the road in a mission trip before by banditos, not even of the drug cartel. It's become unsafe for the average lay people to go into Mexico. One service station where Joe Barry's group and John Watts' group stops right over in the border, the weekend after they came through there and made their usual stop, 15 people were gunned down by the drug cartel. Now, when we stand before the Lord and we say we pulled out of Mexico because it's unsafe, how are we going to stand? I ain't looking to go down there and get shot, folks. But it breaks my heart that the dangers of this world, the difficulties of this world, can stop what we had started as the association down there. Do we believe the power of the gospel has the power to protect us as we go and share the word? Fear difficulties. Here's something. Self-declared weakness. In Jeremiah 1, verses 6 through 7, Jeremiah says, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to do this." Or we believe that the task is too hard. Matthew 25, verses 24 through 25 says, "But Lord, you're a hard master. This is too hard for me to do. I can't. Don't call me to the mission field, please." Would you rather be in the very center of God's will in a mission field somewhere surrounded by mines and all kinds of things, or would you rather be out here where God says, "I told you to go somewhere"? We make the excuse. We make excuses. Lack of a vision. Matthew 25, verses 44 through 45, when the unrighteous said, "Well, Lord, when do we ever see you sick and afflicted and hunger and all these things? You have no vision." And that's no excuse. Look around you everywhere you see what's happening as we bring these children here. They're getting to know God, and yet we cannot get a bus minister. We cannot get a family dedicated to visiting and bringing these souls in here so that they can hear the gospel. We don't have a vision. And the Bible says those without a vision do what?
Perish.
I love you people. And here's the last one. Too much personal need. Way too many personal needs. When the Lord says, when He said, "Let me go with you," He said, "Let me go back and bury my folks. I just bought a piece of property. Let me go back to my wife. Let me go." Oh my. We get so consumed with our own personal needs. And we focus on our wants. Because my Bible tells me that my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But what do? We make excuses. We not only make excuses, but we try to do things to justify our sins for not going. Are we sinners or saints, folks? Do we believe the gospel has the power to change the lives of our family and friends? Do we believe the gospel can save folks from hell and the lake of fire? Do we believe the gospel reveals the righteousness of God? Do we believe the gospel can give us faith and that we can learn to live by this faith? Do we believe this book? Do we believe the God of this book? Do we believe of the Savior that's revealed in this book? Then why aren't we sharing the gospel? Why are we not going out? Look with me one last passage of Scripture and I will close. Luke chapter 8, verse number 35. Do we believe this gospel? This Then when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were what? Afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was what? Healed. Do we believe the gospel? Do we believe that there's the power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal our families, to heal our friends that are possessed by the devils of alcohol and drugs, pornography, and all other types of ungodliness that are demons that possess our family and our friends? Do we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ that came to seek and to save that which was lost? Do we truly trust that Jesus, in Philippians 4:13, where we quote it all the time, that what? It's through Him that we're strengthened. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we, as members of Martindale Baptist Church, have the power of the gospel residing over our ministries? This book tells me a lot of good things here. And I say, perhaps we really don't believe the gospel. But you know what? We'll stand before Jesus. We'll have no excuse when He's told you that He will protect you and He'll be with you. He'll never leave, nor will He forsake you. Then why do we do nothing? Why, you know, is that really what you want to do, is to do nothing? How many of you are praying for lost souls regularly on a daily basis, maybe more than once a day? You know, that's one thing that we all can do, is pray. Pray specifically for our lost loved ones and friends. We can all pray. Do something to share the truth of the love of Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that you know about the gospel? He died for your sin. He died because of your sin. He loved you so much that He freely gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, that if all who would believe, they would have eternal life through Him. There's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And He desires, for Martindale Baptist Church, He desires for anyone who is indeed a born-again believer, His desire is that you share the gospel. Do you believe the gospel? You can't if you've never received it. Because it's the power of the gospel that you receive in you that sets your soul on fire to desire that lost souls be saved. Father, as we began and prepared this moment of invitation, I ask You, Lord, just in the power of Your Spirit, to move in the hearts of those who've heard this message. God, we all should be about the business of our Father who is in heaven. We become so consumed by the things of this world. Give us power, Lord, to repent from our wickedness, from our selfishness, from our self-centeredness, for the all-about-me syndrome that this entire society is built upon. God, give us power to repent, and let us truly focus on what it is that Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." In order to seek first the kingdom of God, we have to seek your face, Lord. We should be looking for a relationship that is strong and growing. A relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. The first priority of every day should be to seek the face of God. And your word promises, if we'll seek you first and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then everything else falls in its proper place. Help us, Father, to believe and act upon the gospel, to share the good news, to give to the mission fields and go to the mission fields, to reach out within our own community and reach out for those souls who are damned by their own ignorance believing a lie. It's our responsibility to take them from their own lies that they have created and show them the truth of the gospel. Father, if there's anyone here that has never received the gift of the gospel, eternal life, that Father, before they can begin sharing that gospel, they must have it. They can't share anything they don't have. May you, in your power and strength, save souls today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for a moment of invitation.
321.